What was your initial reaction when you got news that this is the way that it was going down?
Well, I would say this, that the suspensions were obviously very significant. It nearly matches one of the, of course, the only longer suspensions we've ever seen from a managing standpoint would have been the lifetime ban for Pete Rose and John Coppolella's place on the permanent ineligible list as a result of the signing improprieties in the Dominican Republic. So these were very serious penalties. And I will admit that now looking back, it does make sense that Jim Crane made the choice to dismiss both Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch, but certainly in the moment, watching the press conference as I was yesterday, it did take my breath away a little bit when he actually said those words about dismissing them, because bear in mind, J.D., this is a team that was 9 outs away from winning the World Series a few months ago, very nearly on top of the world in baseball, and now here they are with no manager, no GM, and incredible deep questions about the legacy of the championship they won in 2017. So a pretty remarkable day, a sad day, but certainly one that I think gives a lot of people around the game tremendous clarity as to just how severely these instances of sign stealing are going to be dealt with here for the future now in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I thought Luhnow and Hinch were essentially going to be treated like Sean Payton was that year in New Orleans, when it was like, all right, you're suspended for what was the name of the
That was Bounty Gate. Payton, that's, I believe, yeah. Right, for the 1 year.
I couldn't remember the name of it, but yeah, that he's out for a year, you have interim people, and that you ultimately stand by your guys and bring them back. I was a little surprised they got fired, but I also wondered, too, how, you know, things did play out in the World Series, how things played out with Osuna, how things played out with the reporter from Sports Illustrated that, you
right.
know,
this Stephanie this, Epstein, yeah, yes, that with this, the remarks made by Brandon Taubman.
Exactly,
right.
that this wasn't all just in a vacuum, that these guys had already taken some pretty bad PR hits and that they weren't exactly the most beloved figures to stand behind at this point. But I just, I'm having trouble grappling with a couple of these things. One is that, like, how serious do you think vacating the title was? Do you think that was ever a real conversation that was held within Major League Baseball, within Rob Manfred's office?
I don't believe it was ever seriously considered, and it's notable that you do see that punishment in the NCAA for recruiting infractions and ineligible players from that standpoint. But I guess to use that same analogy, it's not as though any of the players who were winning the championships were ineligible to be playing on the field in that context. Obviously, there was cheating going on. This is roughly the maximum penalty that you could envision a team getting. It was the maximum fine of $5 million, losing first and second round picks each of the next 2 years. This is severe. So I don't think that it was ever actively considered vacating a title. And I do think that it's certainly has put the sport on notice just how severely this issue has impacted the game. And of course, we're still in the midst of the investigation as a sport to see what happened with the Red Sox, given the fresh allegations in The Athletic about their alleged sign stealing, which also involves Alex Cora. Alex Cora, the bench coach, who was considered by MLB in this report released yesterday to be integral to the devising of the scheme. So Alex, you would have to imagine, is going to be dealt with very harshly as well in the discipline here coming out from MLB in the coming weeks regarding the Red Sox. So it's a difficult time for the game, and I think part of it comes from the sense, JD, that we don't know when exactly this story ends. For now, the only two active or the only two investigations we have seen was the one completed of the Astros and the one that's still ongoing with the Red Sox. But we don't know how many, if any, other teams could have been having improprieties in that regard. We don't believe there's any other investigations. I'll make that clear. There's, at this point in time, the only active one ongoing is still the Red Sox. But there is that fear that part of the genesis of the Astros subterfuge to begin with was they had said publicly, according to reports, that they believed a number of other teams were involved in similar tactics, and now that was one of the reasons why they had that person stationed next to the dugout trying to film other people allegedly stealing signs. So we'd like to think that the disciplinary book is going to be closed in a month's time or so, whenever the Red Sox discipline's announced, but J.D., I am not so sure about that here as we speak today.
Yes, and I want to get to Cora, and I want to get to some of the other fallout in just a second here. I want to finish the thought on the potential of the vacated title. And, yeah, it's sign-stealing is a part of baseball. Like, it happens, in fact, to a point where when it happens in games sometimes, you wonder, like, how much of it is actually just even cheating. This is obviously much more egregious, and especially when, you know, basically Manfred came out and they said that they sent a memorandum to a bunch of teams and said, don't do this. Like, we're warning you. And the brazenness right. in which they continued with, I really does feel like at this point, until there's evidence to the contrary that these other teams, and especially the Dodgers, were doing the same thing, that it was this brazen and this in your face and just like, yeah, this obvious in hindsight, like with the banging the trash can, like some of the videos have been circulated. Like, I know John Boy has done a really great job as that Twitter account as a Yankees fan who's put out some evidence from different Yankees contests, and Phil Hughes has been vocal about it. But just, I read Bill Plachke's piece. Did you get a chance to read that?
I've not read it yet, but Bill is obviously one of the best.
Yeah, so I got a chance to look it over, because the first thing I thought of was, how are Dodgers fans feeling? Because this just, if I'm a Dodgers fan, I don't want any record of anybody beating us. Like, I want it known that while they, you know, that we didn't win, that no one won. And this was kind of startling for me when I read his piece. It was that Darvish, these are some quotes from his piece. This is Plachke. Darvish entered his game 3 start with a 1.58 ERA in his two previous starts. Then he allowed 4 runs in the second inning of his game against the Houston Astros. Kershaw had pitched the best game of his career in the series opener by allowing 1 run over 7 innings while striking out 11 and walking none. Yet in game 5, and this is his writing, with the dugout TV glowing, he gave up a 4-run lead and a 3-run lead while being hammered for 6 runs in 4 2/3 innings. Brennan Morrow, who allowed 2 runs in 12 and a third previous postseason innings, but then suddenly in Game 5, he couldn't get an out, allowing 4 runs on a homer, single, double, and a homer. Those numbers to me, like that all together, and I know that it's kind of confirmation bias to a certain degree, but it's also just hard to look at that and think that that goes to a Game 7 and that one of those pitchers doesn't perform better without the cheating of the Astros. And that's why I just can't imagine that. I know that they're not allowed to comment on this right now. I saw the release from the Dodgers. But that privately, there is a lot of people upset in Los Angeles over the way that this has been handled.
I'm sure there are. And again, we just simply do not know enough information to be able to definitively say on any count, whether it's 2018, 2017, to say, here are the teams that were definitively innocent, and here were those that are definitively guilty. We know, of course, one team is guilty, the Astros in 2017, but it's difficult to know with any degree of certainty throughout the entire course of the season and the playoffs exactly who was guilty and who was innocent. And this is the parallel that we have now to the PED era. Well, we just simply don't know enough, and that's why I'm certainly not comfortable saying, well, this team certainly did, or this team certainly didn't, or maybe this team did, because we just simply don't know. And that is the murky part of it. That's the very unsatisfying part of it. I think that Dodgers fans at this point in time, on this day, if they feel as though they were victimized here, that's very legitimate, and I empathize with that and certainly understand why they would feel that way. I just think that it's, to me, it really becomes a disastrous slope if you start vacating championships without knowing to whom you then give it. How far do you unspool that yarn that now exists? It really does to me, though, JD, it definitively taints the 2017 mm-hmm. championship for the Astros. I know Jim Crane was asked about this, the Astros owner, at the press conference yesterday. Does this taint the championship? He said no. I think objectively the answer is yes.
Yeah.
It most certainly does. And there are various degrees of this. I make the parallel to the PED era. If you had a known steroid user powering your team to a championship, does that taint the championship? I suppose on some level, one could argue that it does. I also don't think that MLB should go back and un-award every championship during the time in which PEDs were, and by the way, still are, part of the game. It's a very difficult ethical question. What does this mean for the Hall of Fame candidacies of the players that are on the Astros right now? Frankly, I don't know that answer yet. I have to think about that. Yeah. And fortunately, we all have time to ruminate on this for a number of years before they're actually on the ballot. But this is now the latest large-scale ethical question that we who care about the game's history must now wrestle with. And JD, as much as we all love to have conclusions and definitive black and white answers on things, this is going to be a situation where there's a lot of gray about innocence and guilt. And unfortunately, that will persist, I believe, for a very, very long time.
Well, it doesn't seem too gray when it comes to Alex Cora. Like the reports have essentially been that he was the ringleader of this and that he was the only guy that was not a player that was just actively involved on a day-to-day basis. Do you think that there's real potential here that Alex Cora is banned from baseball for life?
Banned for life? I would not expect that. I do think, at the very least, based on the precedent of the suspension that AJ Hinch received, that Alex Cora, the fact that he was integral to the process of stealing signs and then went on to potentially, we'll see what the Red Sox discipline says regarding 2018, but that could be another data point that suggests it's going to be more than a year. Then I think based on the precedent set by Jim Crane, there's going to be a lot of pressure on the Red Sox to dismiss Alex Cora. And then I think his reentry to the game is going to be, I think, more difficult than that of A.J. Hinch. I believe A.J. Hinch will manage in the game again. I think he'll be a major league manager, maybe not in 2021, but I believe in the next 5 years, I believe he is back. Alex Cora, I am less sure of that. And Jeff Luhnow, I am less sure of him than I am of A.J. Hinch, just simply because what a divisive figure he has been in the game for so long. And to your point off the top of the segment, J.D., there's been issues of how the Astros front office has conducted itself that transcend this particular instance. As you mentioned, the treatment of Stephanie Epstein by Brandon Taubman and the incredibly reprehensible comments that he made at that point in time, and a number of other issues where simply the Astros' conduct has not been exemplary within the game. And I think a lot of that is traced to the culture that Jeff Luhnow created. And he will eventually have to answer to that if he decides to seek employment back in this sport in the next year or so.
So last one from me, and this is still on gray areas, but yeah, again, from the reports, it seems like the players were the ones that were really most complicit in all of this. And yet none of them were handed a suspension. None of them were fined. And yeah, there are some complexities to it, but do you think that it's just kind of a matter of Major League Baseball sort of chickening out as to why no one is held responsible as a player? Like when we're talking about PEDs, yeah, that's who ends up getting those. That's who gets fined. That's who loses salary. That's who misses games. And here, they go completely unscathed.
Well, two things. Number one, at the time, and this is where I believe the commissioner was in the right in the way that it was enforced at this point in time. Back in 2017, when the Apple Watch story came out regarding the Red Sox, the memo that went around to every single team said that he is going to hold the general manager and field manager responsible for adhering to the very firm protocols that were at that point in time put in place. It is the job of the manager and GM. That was their responsibility, and he believes here that the Astros, clearly Luhnow and Hinch, failed in that responsibility. The other part is there was not quite the same level of collectively bargained standing for the commissioner to discipline players for this type of infraction. And I think that the commissioner probably realized that if he tried to, there would be a lengthy dispute with the union, probably a grievance filed about where the standing was on the part of MLB to discipline the players in that regard. And I think he made probably a very thoughtful and perhaps strategic decision that was not the battle he was going to fight at this point in time. I personally think the commissioner handled things the right way. I agree with what he did here, but I understand there may be some that say that the players, I even got a text from a player today, JD, saying, why aren't those players getting penalized? So there's clearly some division within the player fraternity about what should happen, but I think that given the memo in 2017 and given what precedent he had or did not have to do so, the commissioner acted, I think, the best that he could given the circumstances.